Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Eureka Forbes Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call. We have Mr. Prateek Poddar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Gaurav Khandelwal, CFO, Eureka Forbes, with us. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before I hand it over to Mr. Prateek Poddar, please note the disclaimer. Certain statements made by the management in today's call may be forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect management's best judgment and analysis as of today. The actual results may differ materially from the current expectations based on a number of factors affecting the business. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Poddar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and I welcome you all to the Q4 earnings call of Eureka Forbes Limited. In quarter four, we delivered a strong performance despite a progressively challenging operating environment through the quarter. Revenue for the quarter grew 11.6% year-on-year to rupees 684 crores, driven by double-digit growth in our water purifier business and continued strong momentum in our emerging categories. Our overall product business grew in double digits during the quarter, and the growth was driven on the back of volume growth and improving mix. Growth was also broad-based across channels and geographies. The e-commerce channel disruption last quarter also normalized towards the end of the quarter and will not be a drag going forward. Very encouragingly, our quality of growth continued to improve. We are seeing a broader growth profile with multiple categories contributing, growing service revenue, and improving customer metrics supporting long-term business trend. Our service business momentum sustained through the quarter, and we took several initiatives to unlock the large filter sales opportunity. During the quarter, we launched a major influencer-led marketing campaign that has already generated over 1 billion views. We also continued to make strong progress on customer experience. Response turnaround times improved significantly, escalations reduced sharply, and we rolled out additional initiatives to further strengthen service quality. On profitability, while input cost inflation intensified through the quarter, we delivered an adjusted EBITDA margin of 13.2%, our highest ever, which is a strong reflection of the inherent strength of our business model. As you're aware, the West Asia crisis has led to sharp inflationary pressures coupled with currency depreciation. In response to rising costs, we implemented a calibrated price increase of 6% to 7% on an average in April, and we will remain agile as the situation evolves. Let me now step back and reflect on the full year gone by and the progress we've made in our transformation journey. FY 2026 revenues grew 11.3% to rupees 2,710 crores, despite a challenging macro backdrop for much of the year. This was our second consecutive year of double-digit growth. Our product business delivered growth in teens for the third year in a row. While water purifiers saw temporary moderation after strong growth in FY 2025, the category has grown at a three-year CAGR of over 12%, and we remain confident of its growth trajectory stepping up as we go forward. Consumer awareness around the risks of untreated water is rising, and we will continue investing behind category growth by addressing the barriers of awareness, relevance, affordability, and availability. Our emerging categories continue to scale well. Robotics delivered strong growth and expanded its presence in organized retail. Air purifiers grew 2.7x in FY 2026, albeit on a low base, and we see this as a significant future growth opportunity. Water softeners also maintained strong double-digit growth, supported by increasing awareness and our own focused investments behind strengthening go-to-market capabilities. Eureka Forbes is now clearly evolving from being a one-category company into a multi-category health and hygiene company, and that strategic shift is increasingly becoming a meaningful source of growth. It is important to note that we are not just participating in category growth in these categories. In several areas, if not all, we are actively helping shape and expand the category through investment in awareness, consumer inciting, distribution, and relevant innovations. In service, FY26 marked a clear turning point in customer experience. Several service KPIs are now at all-time high levels, and we have materially reduced the extreme outliers. Our ambition now is to move from good to being great and making customer experience a true source of competitive advantage for us. On the service business side, AMC bookings grew in double digits in FY26. Filters remain an exciting opportunity to tap into. Towards that, as we've spoken about in the past, we launched a new simplified assortment of filters and filter kits, set up a new distribution system, and began investing in consumer education. The early response has been encouraging, but we need to keep in mind that building this business requires changing years, if not decades, of established channel and consumer behavior, and hence sustained investment, focus, and some patience will be called for. For the full year, adjusted EBITDA stood at Rs. 332 crores with margin of 12.2%, up 55 basis points over the previous year. This marks a third consecutive year of margin expansion from 6.3% in FY23 to 12.2% in FY26. Importantly, we have achieved this even while continuing to step up our growth investments, which increased 13.2% in FY26. Our stance remains absolutely clear. We will continue to invest beyond growth, and when required, our bias will remain towards higher growth investments. Our balance sheet also strengthened significantly, and we have moved from a net debt of Rs. 193 crores in June 2022 to a net cash surplus of Rs. 443 crores today, giving us strategic flexibility, including for inorganic growth opportunities as and when they arise. As we look ahead, the environment, as we know, remains uncertain. The evolving geopolitical situation, input cost increases, currency pressure, and the potential impact of inflation on consumer demand all warrant close observation. In this context, we are sharply focused on two clear priorities. Number one, stepping up growth through sustained investments and sharper execution. Number two, driving efficiency by aggressively reducing wastage and improving productivity. Overall, I believe that Eureka Forbes has built a very strong foundation, has the right strategy and the right set of plans, and has an extremely capable and energized team. That gives us confidence in our ability to continue delivering sustained, profitable growth in the periods ahead. With that, let me now hand you over to Gaurav for more details on our financial performance. Gaurav?
Thank you, Prateek, and good afternoon, everyone. I will first start off with the FY26 full year performance. Revenue grew 11.3% year-on-year to 2,710 crores. This was the second successive year of double-digit growth and was underpinned by double-digit growth in 6 out of 8 quarters for our continuing businesses. This growth was broad-based, and there were 2 key aspects to this year's top-line performance. First is our shift from being dependent on a single category to having multiple growth drivers. This was instrumental in ensuring strong overall product growth in teens for the 3rd consecutive year now. Secondly, our service revenue growth improved versus the previous years. Moving on to gross margins. Gross margins for the year expanded by 46 basis points to 58.8%. I want to highlight 2 aspects here. First, our gross margins have remained range-bound at 58 to 60% over the last 3 years now. This is a reflection of our balanced portfolio, mix management, and the well-institutionalized COGS program. Second, looking ahead, we are beginning to see some input cost pressures starting from quarter 1 of FY27. This triggered us to press the button on price increase of an average of 6 to 7% across categories and price points. While this did not impact FY26 gross margins materially, it is something we are monitoring very, very closely. If input cost inflation sustains at current levels, there will be some gross margin headwinds in FY27 that we aim to mitigate through a series of actions across pricing, mix management, and COGS initiatives. Let me now walk you through the details of operating expenses. Employee costs for FY26 grew by 7% to 328 crores and came in at 12.1% of revenue versus 12.6% of revenue last year. The increase reflects the normal salary increments and measured headcount additions aligned to growth. However, the drop in people cost as a percentage to revenue is a clear source of operating leverage for us. A&SP spends for FY26 grew by 13.2% as we believe our growth investments are enabling growth. This is a deliberate strategic choice and we will remain focused on investing for growth. Service charges for the year grew by 11.2%, largely driven by increase in our AMC bookings, while other expenses excluding A&SP spend grew by 13.4%. Putting it all together, our total operating expenses excluding the A&SP spends as a percentage of revenue declined by 27 basis points to 35.7%, giving us the benefit of operating leverage. Adjusted EBITDA grew by 16.4% for the year to 332 crores, translating into a 12.2% margin, up 55 basis points over FY25. Adjusted PBT pre-exceptional grew by 18% to 278 crore, while pre-exceptional PAT grew by 19% to 190 crore. Reported PAT for the year came in at rupees 160 crore. This year's PAT included the impact of the new wage code, which was taken in quarter 3. In FY26, we further strengthened our balance sheet, ending the year with a net cash surplus of 243 crore, and we generated a free cash flow of 237 crore, representing 148% of reported PAT. This is despite a step up in capex from 55 crore in FY25 to 84 crore in FY26. We have consistently targeted an FCF to PAT conversion above 100%, and this trend has continued in FY26. Coming closer to FY26 quarter 4 performance, revenue for the quarter grew by 11.6% year on year to 684 crore, led by strong growth from emerging categories and a double-digit growth in the water purifier category. Employee expenses grew by 11.3% year on year to 88 crores, largely driven by higher incentive payouts. Service charges grew by 2.7% year on year to 85 crore. This was a combination of increase in spends due to increase in AMC bookings, but with an offset caused by efficiency programs focused on addressing leakages. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter grew by 13.1% to 90 crores with an underlying adjusted EBITDA margin of 13.2%. I am happy to share that we have delivered 13% plus margin in 2 out of 4 quarters in FY26. Adjusted PBT grew by 8.1% year-on-year to 73 crore and PAT came in at rupees 51 crore. After a quarter three that was impacted by transient channel inventory issues, quarter four clearly demonstrated the resilience of this business. To summarize, we believe that the business today is on a strong footing. It has been 2 years of double-digit growth for the business and sustained margin expansion. The fundamentals remain intact, with the categories becoming even more relevant, though consumer sentiment remains mixed. Looking ahead into FY27, the key variable is the uncertain macro environment. Input cost pressures are real, with no end in sight yet. We have a number of initiatives in progress aimed at mitigating its impact. Our key focus in FY27 is on stepping up revenue growth while at least holding margins. We will continue to stay disciplined on cost, root out inefficiencies, and execute against our priorities with consistency. I will now hand it back to the moderator for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for the opportunity. So first, I want to get a sense that you have taken a price increase from April onwards. So was there a channel stopping towards the towards March end? So possibly that can, you know, lead to slightly muted growth in April. And how has been the tension so far in April and May?
Hi Keshav, thank you for the question. We had announced our price increase towards the end of last quarter, in the last 2-3 days of March. So while there was some upstocking in a few pockets, there was no material channel loading which happened because of the price increase. And therefore we expect no impact of that in our quarter one performance.
Understood. But now we have been seeing, you know, double-digit growth in service booking from last 1 year. So is it fair to assume from Q1 FY27 onwards, at least service revenue will also take a double-digit trajectory? And how are the things happening on, you know, number of service initiatives which you have taken and you have announced on, you know, Investor Day? What is the progress on the same?
Yeah, Kishore, no, so I'll begin with your first part of the question and then request GK to also come in and add. So we are pleased with the progress that we have been making in our service business. We've had the fourth consecutive quarter of double-digit growth in bookings, in AMC bookings, and therefore that momentum has sustained. We also have, as we shared in Investor Day, kicked off a new growth vector, which is working on unlocking the filters opportunity. And that work stream is in market right now. We've launched the new assortment. We've got the new distribution system in place. The focus has now moved to generating consumer awareness and creating a greater pull for genuine AquaGuard filters through the parallel service network. And that work is on, as I mentioned in my opening remarks. The influencer campaign went live about a couple of months ago, and we were very, very encouraged to see the strong response we got to that. So all those work streams are in motion. But like I said, we recognize that this involves changing many, many years of established channel and consumer behavior. And for this behavior, and this is our category which gets purchased infrequently. So this behavior change will take time. But what we are seeing as early evidence is encouraging. The other initiatives that we spoke about in the Investor Day aimed at digitalizing the entire service network, aimed at improving customer experience, aimed at giving much greater visibility to our service network and to our customers. I think all of those initiatives are in fact going exactly as per plan. And I think that's one reason why our customer service KPIs have improved so significantly. So I think in terms of all the interventions, we are pleased with the progress we are making. And on the revenue recognition, Gaurav, over to you.
Keshav, so you're absolutely right. We've had, during the course of the year, bookings growth on a sustained double-digit basis. I think the important part is that it started from the early part of the year, and hence we've been able to get a part of that impact within the year itself. So we've seen the impact of that play out in quarter three. We see that impact playing out in quarter four as well, when we look at our service revenue growth year on year. Going ahead, we do expect that impact to continue in the coming quarters as well. I think one important call out that I would have is and you will see this impact very, very clearly when we release our annual report, when you see the service growth between an FY25 and what you see in FY26. I think going ahead, one dimension to call out is that while we've had, you know, sustained growth in our bookings, a very conscious choice that we had made was also to drive the multi-year mix, because we wanted to lock in customers for a longer period of time, because the more multi-year mix that you do in, the more is your chance to kind of elbow out the grey market operators. Mm. So hence the impact of that would come, of our FY26 bookings growth would come in FY27. But you may not see the full impact yet, because some of that revenue may come in FY28, because the share of a multi-year mix in our AMC bookings has gone up quite significantly. But very clearly, to summarize, when we report our full year numbers, you will see a step up in our service revenue growth.
Got it. Quite clear. Just to follow up on this, how far are we to, you know, hear double-digit service revenue growth?
I think, Keshav, from our perspective, I think, you know, all the interventions are in place. I think the bit on filter is an important pivot that we did during the course of this year, and that provides an additional opportunity to generate revenue. I think the key dimension that I would like to just reiterate is that there is a very entrenched consumer behavior, there is a very entrenched channel behavior, the way they operate. And I think from our perspective, it is about just making sure that we keep all these considerations in mind and back it up with the right product, right portfolio, and, you know, how do we keep creating that pull? And a part of that was, you know, launching the influencer videos in this particular quarter. But this is going to be a journey.
And if I just add to that, Keshav, I think, like Gaurav said, all the input enablers have been deployed or are being deployed as we speak. The step up to a double-digit growth in service lies in unlocking this filter opportunity. And therefore, towards that, you know, we've rolled out all the possible interventions, including the right products, building the right distribution, and now increasingly investing in consumer awareness and consumer education. You will see that play out and step up in the near future as well. And we remain confident that as all these interventions play out, we will see a step up in filters growth and thereafter, and therefore, in service revenue as well.
Got it. Quite clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chanchal Kumar Khandelwal with Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Chanchal.
You're audible.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, Pratik and Gaurav. Just on the service revenue, you've seen your projection. You're talking about by FY30, almost doubling your revenue and your operating profit growth even higher, which implies more than 20% CAGR. Now, first question is on the service revenue. I mean, we are seeing disruption happening at various places. If I were to say, right, from quick commerce to urban clap, to various people who have been able to reach to the urban consumer. Now, do we have to do some intervention that this service revenue, apart from the filter which you have spoken about, are we thinking differently that this service revenue, which is a core of us, be sticky and we tag with someone or do something which makes it sticky that so that we win for longer term, because the disruption by various other platforms is happening as we speak. Any thoughts there?
Well, Chanchal, that's an interesting question. Let me respond to that in two parts. I think the broader point you're making is absolutely valid, which is that today's urban consumers is getting increasingly accustomed to faster and more agile ways of servicing her. Quick commerce being a great case in point. And therefore, our service delivery has to measure up to that enhanced expectation. So what we've done very consciously this year, or rather last year, is to make a very specific promise to customers of service within a particular slot. Earlier, our delivery promise was a 24-hour TAT. In other words, delivering a service to a complaint in 24 hours of booking. We've now moved that to a specific 2-hour slot promise. And we are doing very well against that promise. So that's the first step. The second step we are working on, analogous to what Quick Commerce is doing, is working on a similar 4-hour service promise. That from the point when a customer is either buying a new product or placing a service request, can we turn around that complaint in 4 hours? And there are very interesting new models we are exploring towards that. And these are not models that we've explored in the past. We haven't talked about them publicly, but these are very, very specific initiatives that we've taken in, put in place. And right now they're in pilot mode, as you can imagine, before we scale them up. In our categories, as you're aware, there is a water category which requires an installation, but there are other categories which don't require so. And therefore, a quick turnaround, a quick delivery, quick promise, actually is very amenable in these categories. I think we spoke about it in the last earnings call, that in quarter three, a big source of growth for air purifiers for us was using the quick commerce platform. So coming back to your question, from a quick service point of view, we are indeed exploring various different avenues, and many pilots are in play to enhance the speed of service and if therefore improve the delivery that we promise that we make to our customers, similar to what you see in quick commerce, etc. Now, your question was also about revenue. Are we looking at different ways of enhancing our revenue flow through? We have several initiatives in flight. The one thing I'm going to speak about, the others I'd rather not speak about right now, but the one thing I do want to talk about is extended warranty and service bundling. And some of those initiatives are in play. Like I said, they're still in pilot mode. And the moment we have some results to share, we circle back with you and with the largest group of investors and talk about that. But yes, I mean, you can be sure that the changing world around us of quick commerce, of technology-led service disruptions and service promise enhancements are giving us thought on and giving us lots of stimuli on how we can evolve our own service offerings. And you'll see some of this play out in the near future.
Sure, that's useful. The only point, again, to deliver on this is that now our brands are much stronger than what our sales is. And we have a right to make our brand much, much stronger, and there's a customer pool by itself. But our customer C is looking at service as a platform where all the services are available, and that's the reason the pivot to Urban Club or various other platforms. So we'll have to do something in other platform for our service revenue to be consistently growing with us. Otherwise, someone else will disrupt and we'll be focusing on this 4-hour service or 5-hour service. So there is disruption happening at some other places which may affect your core. And the core is what your brand stands for. So that's what I just wanted to delve on.
That's fair, Chanchal, and you're right. And we are absolutely watching this very closely to ensure that we are not blindsided and that we look for and spot for disruptions, if any. But equally, if I flip it over, and we alluded to this briefly in the investor day as well, the fact that there is a service platformization not only is a potential source of risk, but it is a very exciting source of opportunity for us as well. The reality is that today we service multiple categories. Water is the most widely known, but we service today robotics, softeners, air purifiers, conventional vacuum cleaners, commercial devices which are deployed in the market. So we already have a number of categories to whom we provide service, for whom we provide service. we are building a technology platform, as we spoke about in the Investor Day, which allows us to be multi-tenant, multi-category, and fairly flexible in how we are able to onload market technicians and provide customers these different service offerings. Having traveled this journey, and a lot of that will be completed in this financial year, it will allow us to think of possibilities which are beyond our current categories, but that is for the future. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that is something clearly that we are keeping on a peripheral vision. The fact that service and service platformization can be a source of meaningful opportunity and in the longer run, meaningful value creation. That is absolutely something that we are thinking of.
So thanks. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Chandra.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Renu Pugalia with IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon team. So my first question is, from a near-term perspective, given the steep inflationary impact across product categories on the consumption bucket, do you see a risk of demand getting impacted ahead of monsoon season and any allied risk of downtrading within the customer segment? Also, with this year expected to be a drought-like situation, from a seasonal perspective, do you see the sales for water purifiers getting impacted in years of weak monsoon? That's the first question.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Renu. Let me start with the first one, which is, do we expect any disruption on account of the inflationary environment? I think, as I mentioned earlier in my opening remarks, that given the cost pressures and given the currency pressures, we took a calibrated price increase of between 6 to 7% early in April, and that got rolled out. It took some time for the price increase to play out in the market, and because of the trade inventory, etc. That said, the price increase is indeed in the market now. And the early days, the early indicators that we have seen is that the price increase has landed well, and we do not see any impact as of now on sellouts or on tertiary sales. Number one. Number two, as you're aware, we have a wide portfolio which straddles multiple price points, and therefore we are able to offer consumers meaningful solutions at these different price points. As of now, we are seeing, like I said, neither a meaningful impact on sales nor any indication of consumers downtrading. But like you said, that's the risk that we are conscious of, and we'll navigate carefully as we go along. On your second question of the likely risk to the business of a drought situation, we have looked at the data. We do not expect this to have a material impact on our water purifier business going forward. Keep in mind, Renu, that, and as you're well aware, our penetration of the category is very, very low, number one. Number two, in the recent past, there have been growing news of the risks and the dangers of drinking untreated, impure water. There have been, unfortunately, very, very many, too many health incidents in the recent past, and they've occupied newspaper headlines. And we are seeing, as a consequence, consumer awareness clearly grow. And we are seeing consumers and families prioritize water purifiers and in more generally health over other durables. So we do not expect the drought, if it materializes, to have any impact on our business. I think, and just to sort of pull back and summarize both your questions, the fact is that the inflation and the cost pressures notwithstanding, we have seen a sequential pickup in the momentum of water purifiers, and the growth has indeed increased. Now, I know that there is still a lot of uncertainty ahead of us. We don't know what's going to unfold, so I don't want to say we are out of the woods yet. But clearly, as the quarter is progressing, because of the rising consumer awareness, we are seeing greater traction for the water purifier category.
Got it. And so the second leg of the question, since Robo as a product category is largely import dependent so far, the JV that we have or the exclusive arrangement that we have with Dixon? By when do we expect to fully localize the manufacturing of robots in India? And if you can also help us update a small bookkeeping question for Gaurav, the revenue mix between products and services for fiscal 2026. Thank you.
Renu, on the first part of your question, like you rightly mentioned, our robotics portfolio is imported. Given the pressure, both the commodity cost pressure, the input cost pressures there, plus the currency impact, we have taken a small price increase in the portfolio. And that has landed, like I said, reasonably well. That's in the market now. We do not see yet any impact on growth, but we are watching this very, very closely. The Dixon arrangement is about manufacturing SKDs. And as you're aware, the quality control order, the QCO of BIS, has got pushed out to September of this year. And as we come closer to September, you'll start seeing the manufacturing and assembly migrate to Dixon over the next 3 to 4 months. On localization, that will be a progressive journey starting in the next couple of quarters, but it will take some time to completely play out. For the moment, however, we are moving from importing FG to assembling from SKDs using our Dixon partnership. GK, on the.
Yes, Renu, on the second part of your question, we'll be giving out the specific numbers as part of the annual report, but I can certainly throw some color on it. On a product business, we've got multiple growth drivers in place, and one should expect the product growth to be reported in teens when you see the annual report. Equally, you will also see a step up happen in our service revenue as well. So you will see a step up in growth in that as well. But the specific numbers are something that we will be sharing as part of our annual report.
Sure. Thank you, and best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Achal Lohade with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a clarification. Did I hear you right when you said you would like to hold on to the margins for FY 2027? Have I heard it right, sir? So that means stable margins YoY for FY 2027?
Yes, Achal. And let me kind of throw some color on it because given the situation, I think there are multiple moving parts here. But let me just step back a bit first. I think we've had a business where for 3 years in a row, we've had a margin expansion play out. Importantly, within that, we've seen multiple sources of margin improvement. So in year one, it was driven by cost. You've seen margin improvement happen through operating leverage. And more recently, in this year, you've seen it improve via gross margins, which means that as a business, we've got multiple levers in place. So that's one dimension and reality that we are keeping in mind. Going ahead, how we think about the business and coming specifically to your question on margin, I think there are two key priorities that we've kind of set out for ourselves. One is stepping up growth. That is where a lot of energy would be going. And second is scaling up our efficiency projects. So we already have, and you've heard us speak about it in the past as well, about our COGS program. Given the inflationary environment, we are stepping and scaling it up even further. And these are the two main priorities that we are working on. All this in our mind, we believe, takes us to a place where with the portfolio that we have, there's a service product business, there is a price ladder that we have in the portfolio, and with the efficiency interventions, etc., we believe that we should be aiming for at least a margin hold. But yes, I think we'll see the situation as it evolves. But this is certainly the aim that we are taking for this year. I'll also just clarify, and that's been our position also. We look at margins on a full year basis and not necessarily get constrained by a quarter. There may be a quarter noise here and there, but I think on a full year basis, our aim would be to be holding margins at least.
Thank you for the clarification. Just a follow-up on that, sir. We would look at double-digit growth even in the current year. B, we also had the service, the cost against the service bookings actually, or AMCs getting actually recognized upfront in FY26. So I'm just curious to, you know, understand, given there would be a benefit of operating leverage, and also secondly, the you know, the normalization of the service margins or expansion in service margin. Like, are we too worried about the cost inflation, and that is why we are kind of indicating a stable margins YY for the full year as a whole?
Yeah, Achal, well, you're right in pointing out, you know, that some of the things that you mentioned do give us a benefit in the year ahead. I think I'm just being mindful of the fact that the cost situation is something which is really fairly volatile. So that's the only bit that, you know, one is very, very mindful of. But as I mentioned, and I'm reiterating, we are looking at least holding the margin. That is what we are aiming for. Equally, we also want to be very sure that we don't let a transitionary event impact our long-term view of the business, and hence we will also remain focused on growth investments. So it's a combination of things that we are looking at. There will be certain benefits that come, some of which you pointed out, but equally there are, you know, certain challenges to navigate. But this is what we are aiming at this point in time.
Fair point. Question on the cost inflation. Is it possible to quantify, you know, at this current juncture, given the currency or the commodity prices, etc., what is the, you know, overall cost impact on our COGS? And of that 6-7% you have taken, so how much more is needed without assuming any further cost savings initiative? I'm just trying to figure out the cost inflation, the quantum, and how much price hike is already taken and how much is required. Without assuming any cost initiative, that I will keep it separately. If you could clarify on that, sir.
Sure, sir. I think, see, it's difficult to put a specific number at an overall level, because there are multiple areas where costs are moving. So there is a polymer impact, there is an impact on metals, there is a foreign currency angle to it. So it is a bunch of things which are there, and they have individually different impact on different parts of the business. Having said that, the pricing increase that we had taken in April, which was roughly in the range of 6-7% on an aggregate basis, that in our view was addressing to a very large extent the overall impact that we were seeing on the business. It wasn't mitigating it in full, but outside of pricing, we've also lined up a bunch of interventions, more specifically about extracting efficiencies and removing leakages. So that is where we are focusing on. Equally, and I'm reiterating, we have the benefit of a portfolio which has got a service product mix. We have the benefit of having products at every single price point. So those are inherent advantages. I think our approach, as far as future pricing is concerned, is going to be driven by the fact that first we stretch ourselves on how much efficiencies we can extract. That is what our key focus will be. But we'll see how this plays along. You know, I'll just remind ourselves that, you know, this is the first time in nearly 4 years that we've taken up pricing. So, and our focus has been on reducing entry barriers in the category. So we're also very mindful that we don't want to be in a situation where we make the category unattractive for a consumer, and hence that will be the other consideration. But we believe that the interventions and the mitigating actions that are there, I think right now keeps us at a place where we should be, you know, we should be able to manage it. But we'll keep, it's an evolving situation, and we'll keeping a very, very close eye.
Got it. Thank you so much for the clarification. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Umang Mehta with Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on your AMC business. So I just wanted to check, in terms of active AMCs as of year end, would that number have grown versus last year? The reason I'm asking is, if I look at your other current liabilities, at least that number seems to be down. So I understand that multi-year mix has gone up, and that's why the non-current portion has grown well. But just this other current seems to be a bit of an issue. So if you can just explain, that would be helpful.
Yeah, thanks, Umang, for your question. So while we don't report the AMC base number as a competitive, for competitive reasons, I think you've already picked up, Umang, the numbers from the balance sheet. So I'll draw your attention to the to the liability balance that stands in aggregate in the balance sheet, and that's a very healthy 9% number that you would have noticed. I think the current and non-current is more a mix of the multi-year mix that is played out, and that has been a very, very conscious choice to kind of lock in customers for a longer duration to, and also to elbow out the grey market operators. But in aggregate, we see our deferred income liability to have gone up quite a bit.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but unless you've taken a ASP cut, all your, I mean, if the volumes have increased, even the other current liability would increase, right? So either there has to be an ASP cut or volumes could have been flattish. Is that understanding wrong?
Just a slight modification needed there, Umang. So current non-current is not a function of volume. Volume is just a, you know, it's about how many AMCs you're selling. Current and non-current is more a function of the duration of your AMC. So the more you sell longer term AMCs, which we call as the multi-year AMCs, then it means that the proportion of non-current will be higher. Now that could come from volume, or that could come from ASP or mix. That's a separate thing. So, but they are two separate things. The big picture is that the proportion of our longer duration AMCs in our business have gone up, and hence you see our non-current liabilities to have gone up quite a bit.
Oh, sure, I'll take it offline. And the second question was on service charges. So you did mention about the reason for, you know, low single digit growth this quarter. If you can help share how sustainable are these gains, how do you look at service charges over the coming year, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Umang, so, you know, from a service charge perspective, as we mentioned in the past, there are two dimensions to it. One part of it is the charge which comes because of bookings, and the other is what we pay out for call charges. It could be complaint, it could be installation, it could be visitations, etc. So, obviously, from a going ahead view, what one should look at is that, you know, there will be an element which goes up in line with, you know, with what is happening on the AMC booking side. Equally, there are countervailing items at play, which is about continuously removing leakages in the system. So as you can imagine, there are ways and means in which people hack it. We've made a lot of progress in putting in digital controls and capabilities. So that is something that we hope will, you know, help us in enduring some of those benefits. Some of that we've seen in quarter four already, and those benefits we expect to continue going ahead as well.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Siddhartha Bera with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, first question is on the growth outlook. You mentioned initiatives to step up growth. We did see a lot of new launches happening last year. So some color, I mean, how much are some of these categories like filters, softeners, and other emerging categories contributing to your this year's revenue, and how much should we expect acceleration from many of these categories in the next few years? Just to understand, is it more near term, or it may take a few years to play out, like you mentioned in the early part of the remark?
Sorry, that was a good question. So let me just talk about the first part of your question. I think as part of our strategy of growing from being a one category led company to being a multi category health and hygiene business with several growth vectors, we have invested behind creating many new businesses. I'm happy to report and share that all of these categories have acquired, I think, very strong momentum and meaningful scale as well. Let me start by talking about robotics, which is the largest of them all right now. Robotics addresses a very specific problem statement in urban India of keeping the home clean in an environment where domestic help is not always assured. Robotics portfolio has been growing strongly and consistently for the last 3 years, and indeed it did so last quarter as well. Robotics now contributes, as a segment, contributes to more than 65-66% of the overall vacuum cleaner category in the country. And you recall that the vacuum cleaner category was fairly moribund. It wasn't growing earlier. And robotics has infused a new lease of life into this category. There are three vectors driving growth for robotics: products and innovation, distribution expansion, and just growing consumer awareness. And our strategy has been to double down on each one of them. We have built out a complete portfolio of products ranging from economy to super premium. We have increased distribution. We have now gone into retail as well, both organized trade and independent general trade. And we've invested, as you know, in consumer awareness, including Shraddha Kapoor campaign of last year. This category is, in strong momentum. And as we mentioned in the Investor Day, we expect it to reach more than 1,000 crores for us by FY30. So that is not just a longer term of it is here and now, and it is one of the biggest engines of growth for us. Similarly, air purifiers, where we began investing in the category meaningfully only this year, we have seen strong momentum build up. As you can imagine, quarter four was a lower revenue category for air compared to quarter three, given the seasonality of the category, but we had a very strong growth nevertheless. And going forward, we believe that given just the quality of air across urban India, this category will grow. It will expand beyond North India, and it will expand and it will be even used not just in winter, but through the year. So we have very strong plans of this category. Softeners again, a very large market, but highly fragmented. 90% of India has a hard water problem, and we are investing in growing this category. We've had strong growth for the last 3 years. We built out a complete portfolio, including products which are IoT, and you will see this being a big engine of growth for us as well. Filters that you talked about is, as I mentioned earlier on the call, is a new vector of growth for us. And we began investing in it meaningfully only towards the end of last year, towards quarter three and then quarter four. And just given the very large installed base of AquaGuard users who are not in our AMC offer, and who actually replace filters and go to the open market to replace filters, addressing that TAM is going to be a big source of growth for us. But again, like I said earlier, this requires changing years, and you know, lots of embedded and entrenched behavior. It will require us to be patient, but we are investing in driving consumer awareness, in unlocking all the barriers to this category to grow. So all of these initiatives are making a difference here and now. And they are contributing to growth meaningfully even today, as they did last quarter. And all of them have very low penetration. So we see them all having a very long runway to grow for the next 3 to 5 years.
Understood. So second question is on the price hike. I mean, you talked about 6-7%. So does that factor in the most of the cost pressure you have seen, or do you need more? And is competition also taking similar price hike, or are we taking the lead here in taking these hikes?
Yes, Siddharth. So as I mentioned, our pricing actions, along with, you know, our interventions on our efficiency programs, etc., that in our view kind of addresses to a very large extent the cost inflation that is there. Having said that, this is an evolving situation. And, you know, we are constantly keeping a very, very close eye on it and would intervene wherever required. So that's as far as pricing is concerned. On the second part, yes, competition has also responded, and we've seen price hikes being done by every player. The reality as it stands for everyone is that the inflationary environment is indeed quite strong. And hence, you know, not taking a price increase for anyone would not be viable, but we've seen others take up prices as well.
Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mehul Desai with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question was on the water purifier segment. When you say this FY26, there was a low double digit or teens growth. How is split between volume and price mix in FY26 for the water purifier segment?
Mehul, no, thank you for the question. As I mentioned earlier on the call, water purifiers as a segment with its low penetration has, over the last 3 years, had a CAGR of over 12%. Given the growing category awareness and, like I said, the low penetration, we expect this category growth to indeed accelerate going forward. The growth that has come in the last 3 years, including last year, came on the back of both volume growth as also a mix leading to ASP increase. And going forward again, given the fact that the category has such low penetration, we expect volume growth to be also a meaningful driver of water purifier growth in the future.
Got it. And given that you've taken a 6-7% kind of price hike, and at least your commentary suggests that you know, volume growths have not seen any material impact so far, is this incremental price hike is what is giving you confidence that, you know, there could be a step up in revenue growth in FY27?
Mehul, let me clarify on two things. First one is that, as I said, our price increase has gone in relatively more recently into the market, and the early indicators are that it's landed well. I think we are, like I said, we are watching it very, very carefully, and we're hoping that there is no material impact of the pricing on volumes, especially given the fact that the entire category, all competitors have raised prices. So that's number one. Number two, to clarify again, our growth aspiration for FY27 will be not be on the back of pricing, but it will be on the back of driving volume growth. It will be, you're aware that we have multi-category business, increasingly so, and within each of these categories, we have an assortment that spans economy to premium. Therefore, we have multiple levers to drive growth, drive volume growth, drive ASP increase, and therefore all of these will be brought to bear to drive growth in FY27. The growth that you will see in FY27 will not be merely pricing led, just to be clear.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Asta Jain with PKD Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you are audible, ma'am.
Yes, yes. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I wanted to ask you that Urban Company has shown a very high growth, nearly of 100% in their native business. So, is there a possibility that we are losing market share, or is it like informal to formal shift is being appropriated by Urban Company?
Asa, thank you for that question. I think given the low levels of penetration of this category, entry of new players, increasing innovation is good for the category. It stokes innovation, it stokes consumer interest, it helps the category grow. The launch of new entrants, including the one that you spoke about, has been good for the category. It has helped the category pick up and grow, like I said, in a CAGR of more than 12% over the last 3 years. That wasn't the case in the period preceding that. I'm happy to share with you also that given the sheer strength of our brand, the innovations that we've rolled out, and the aggression we brought to bear in the market, all driven by our very capable teams, we have not lost market share. If anything, as we exited the year, we had market share tailwinds behind us. So we have not lost market share. I think all of this has helped the category grow.
Got it, sir. So my question is that the sales growth this year is very much lower than the long-term guidance that we are given. Will there be acceleration this year to meet the long-term guidance? And even same applies for EBITDA growth as well.
So, Asa, our long-term guidance that we gave for FY30, we absolutely stand by that. The goals both on top line and on EBITDA and profitability are the goals that we are very much going after. FY27, as we see today, short of any black swan events coming our way, we do see acceleration and a step up in growth over what we delivered in FY26. And we will work towards meeting our long-term objectives clearly outlined in the Investor Day for FY30.
Okay. So my last question would be, is it possible to disclose what has been growth in the service revenue as opposed to the service bookings? Are the two converging now?
No, so that we don't declare that, but GK, you want to...
As I mentioned earlier, we will be disclosing the number in our annual report. I think again, as a heads up, what you should expect is for our product business to continue its growth profile in teams, and you will see a step up in our service revenue growth versus FY25. We'll share the specific numbers as part of the annual report.
Last question, is it possible to...
ma'am, sorry to interrupt. We need to proceed with the next question, please.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take our last question, which will be from the line of Trusha from Boring Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, I just want to understand, like, going forward, what will be our strongest growth driver, like which category or like how are we looking at it? Will water purifiers remain the major category or how do we see this going forward?
No, Trusha, that's such an interesting question. Thank you for that. I think we are fortunate to have a portfolio that provides us a profusion of growth opportunities. Water purifiers, you know, it's a category which has, like I said, and like we all know, very low penetration, but it is a category equally of universal relevance and need. We are seeing this category grow, and we are seeing this category accelerate in the future. So that will obviously be, it is an anchor category. It will remain a big engine of growth for us. Additionally, in the last 2 to 3 years, we've incubated and built several new growth engines. I spoke about them, you know, just a little while back, engines like robotics, a very small, in fact, a non-existent business 3 years back. It is going to be a 1,000 crore portfolio for us in the next 3 to 4 years. And we are well on track for that. Air purifiers, we live and breathe the problem every day, and not just in Delhi, across large parts of urban India. That's a portfolio that we intend to build, and FY26 was a proof of concept, if you will, where we multiplied our revenue almost 3 times. Yes, of a small base, but we have the conviction that this can be a very large and meaningful source of business and growth for us. Softeners are spoken about. Again, hard water problem is ubiquitous in India, and we intend to incubate and grow the softeners portfolio. The aftermarket business of filters, again, provides us an exciting growth and a profitable growth option. And therefore, all put together, in response to your question, may I say that in some ways, in some good ways, we almost spoiled for choice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your time and for your questions on the call today. I hope you were able to answer them to your satisfaction. And if you have any follow-up questions or you need any clarifications, please do reach out to us and to the Investor Relations team, and we'll be happy to circle back and clarify. Thank you so much and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Eureka Forbes, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.